Setting up its final approach, the C-130 pitched nose down and snapped into a 30-degree bank, giving Hallie Leland a sudden view of what lay below. It was the second Monday in February at the South Pole, just past noon and dark. Two streaks of light, thin and red as fresh incisions, defined the runway. Half a mile distant, the Amundsen Scott South Pole Station appeared to float in a glowing pool. The air here was clear as polished glass, red and white and gold lights sparkling jewel-sharp a full mile below.
"Pilot having a bad day?"
Hallie yelled at the loadmaster, the only other passenger. Glum and silent, he had spent the flight reading an old issue of People magazine. The piece had been unexpected and much appreciated. She'd been traveling for 4 straight days and nights, and her need for sleep was like a desperate thirst. But the aircraft was designed for cargo, not comfort. Her seat was nylon webbing that hung hammock-like along the entire length of the fuselage, and 4 roaring engines made seeking sleep like trying to doze behind a waterfall. So for most of the flight's 3 hours, she'd alternately revisited the bad parting from Will Bowman at Dulles and tried to visualize diving a subglacial lake with 22-degree water, her primary reason for coming here.
"Just a little fun."
A bit more cheer in the loadmaster's voice.
"It gets boring, flying McMurdo to pole and back. Plus, if he goes in, there's just them up front and us 2 back here. Know what I mean?"
She wasn't sure she did, but she was watching, down on the ice, a clump of white light break into jittering pinpoints.
"What's that?"
"There's a poly saying, 2 best days of your life are the one you fly in and the one you fly out. Lot of happy flyouts down there."
He peered at her.
"We don't usually get incomers this late. You a winter over?"
"Looks like you'll be full heading back to McMurdo."
"Tell me about it."
"You don't sound happy."
"Most will be drunk before they get on. Always a lot of throwing up and fist fights and such."
"Drunk? It's noon."
He looked at her.
"First time down here?"
The cowboy up front could fly. Hallie gave him that. She barely felt the Herc's steel skis kiss the ice. No easy trick with 60 tons in the scant air of 13,000 feet. The plane taxied, stopped, lowered its cargo ramp. She paused at the top to don a face mask and pull up her fur-trimmed hood.
"I wouldn't linger, ma'am. They'll run you right over."
Beside her, the loadmaster gestured toward the mob down on the ice.
"Sorry. You don't see that every day, though,"
she said, looking up at the southern lights, unfurling like green and purple pennants across the black sky. He frowned, hunched his shoulders.
"Not supposed to look that way at noon."
On the ice, a wall of bodies in black parkas blocked her way, faces hidden behind fur ruffs, headlamps on top, fog of liquor breath. The pack shuffled and stamped like horses at her family's farm in Charlottesville.
"Coming through, please,"
Hallie called.
"Come through you,"
somebody slurred, and a few people laughed, but nobody moved. She walked around them. The loadmaster yelled,
"Board!"
and jumped aside like a man dodging traffic. Eventually, he dragged her 2 orange duffel bags down onto the ice.
"Welcome to Hell Froze Over, ma'am. Enjoy your stay,"
the loadmaster exclaimed. It was the first time she had heard anything resembling good cheer in his voice.
"How come you're happy now?"
she yelled.
"Ma'am, 'cause I'm flying out of here."
She watched the plane claw its way back into the thin air, turned toward McMurdo, and then she was alone on the ice. She had never been in a place that looked and felt so hard. The sky shone like a dome of polished onyx etched with the white flecks of stars. The ice could have been purple marble, scalloped into sastrugi. The wind was blowing 20 miles an hour, mild for the pole, where a 1,000-mile fetch delivered hurricane winds all too often.